What to do about the banks?
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
Good morning from American Public Media in Los Angeles. I'm Steve Chiotakis. It's been months and months since the government bolstered big banks in hopes they wouldn't fail. But there still doesn't seem to be consensus on whether that was the right move and what the next step, if there is one, should be. Leading Senate Republicans, such as Alabama's Richard Shelby, are speaking out on the issue, saying some of the financial institutions should just go away.
Close them down. Get them out of business. If they're dead, they ought to be buried. We bury the small banks, we've got to bury some big ones and send a strong message to the market. And I believe that people will start investing in banks.
Shelby spoke yesterday on ABC's This Week. He says most notably, Citigroup has been a, quote, problem child. That bank's gotten federal help to the tune of more than $45 billion, and the government has at least a 30% stake in it. Other analysts say there needs to be the creation of a so-called bad bank to isolate troubled loans. That would help bigger banks get back on sound footing. Another problem industry right now is cars. The Obama administration's auto team is in Detroit today. They're going to try and sort out some of the uncertainties surrounding rescue plans for General Motors and Chrysler. Ashley Milne-Tite reports.
GM and Chrysler want another $22 billion in aid. The government has until March 31st to decide whether to hand it over. The auto team will spend the day meeting company executives. The question is how much further restructuring can be achieved in the next few weeks. The team will also talk to members of the United Auto Workers about wages, possible layoffs, and the fate of the retiree health plan. Yesterday was a good day for GM in Canada. It came to an agreement with union members there that takes it a step closer to receiving aid from the Canadian government. But on this side of the border, GM still has a lot of work to do. The company is hoping it can restructure billions in debt and healthcare obligations before the end of the month without filing for bankruptcy. I'm Ashley Milne-Tite for Marketplace.
Fallout anxiety continues to hamper world markets. In Asia, Japan's Nikkei is at its lowest level since October 1982. It closed lower by more than a percent. The Hong Kong index lost nearly 5% of its value today. In Europe, shares are lower, anywhere from 1% to 2%. The Dow ended last week on an up note. It's at 6626. NASDAQ's just below 1,300. The S&P remains under 700 at 683. Well, today kicks off the National Reservation Economic Summit in Las Vegas. What began as a small brown bag lunch years ago is now a full conference representing a majority of the country's Native American tribes. From Washington, Ronnie Radbill reports.
With the economy tanking, the summit comes at the perfect time. The National Center for American Indian Enterprise Development sponsors the event. The organization's Maria Dadgar says, despite the difficulty of accessing capital, Native American businesses are toughing it out.
We've always been extremely creative in finding ways to be competitive and to stay in business. We've always had to adapt in order to survive, and so that's still going on.
Native American Travis Parachance owns IT company Sedutzing Technologies. He says the conference is a source of clients.
Right now, with the way the economy is going, we need some more work and we need to do more networking. A lot of people who want to do work with companies owned by tribes will be there.
One topic likely to come up at the summit is gaming. Tribal casinos are taking a huge hit. Business is down about 10% from a year ago. In Washington, I'm Ronnie Radbill for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Microsoft, providing people-ready enterprise solutions, software based on how people really work, and by Thrivent Financial for Lutherans, a not-for-profit financial service provider helping its members navigate troubled economic times. Thrivent.com/new offers.
Recent surveys have shown that more than a third of people 18 to 40 have some sort of tattoo. That means brisk business for ink shops in recent years. And despite the recession, people are still getting them. Andrea Mustaine reports.
In a small storefront in Brooklyn's Park Slope neighborhood, the tattoo studio Hand of Glory is a welcoming spot. In the back, owner Craig Rodriguez whistles while he works.
Shop manager Karen Rockauer says there's a reason why they're in a good mood.
We were just discussing earlier today that the business is doing just as well as it was last year at this time, which is not consistent with most small businesses in the neighborhood.
And in fact, owner Rodriguez says his latest figures show business is up more than 40% from the previous year.
I've never really taken any real downhill turns yet.
And with tattoos moving from the fringes of society to the mainstream, he plans to expand. Rodriguez is opening a second shop upstate in the Catskills Mountains. But let's say you're at the mall. You just got a new outfit and you want a tattoo to match. Now you don't have to wait. Yes, tattoos are at the mall. At least this one in Wayne, New Jersey.
Our tattoos have grown 35% year over year, which is pretty spectacular.
That is Heath Wolfson, the CEO of Tattoo Nation. The company hopes to do for tattoos what Starbucks did for coffee. They're expanding into several more malls this year. Wolfson says in this tough economy, it's a question of bang for the buck.
Would I rather buy a pair of jeans that are going to go out of style in 6 months, or would I rather get a tattoo that's going to last a lifetime?
But back at Hand of Glory in Brooklyn, Craig Rodriguez says people don't just get tattoos because they're cost effective. He says they're fun.
It's a little bit of an escape, and I think that that's what human beings do.
Even during hard times. Client Zach Greenblatt says it's impossible to pin down the psychology behind tattoos, but he has his reasons.
It could be because you're showing yourself that you can get through things like I am.
Greenblatt just got laid off a few weeks ago, but he says he won't let that stop him. He's adding red roses and a black crow to the intricate tattoo that already runs down his arm. He says tattoos can serve as a kind of memorial.
Sometimes people go through something horrible. You'd think they'd want to just completely forget it, but they mark it on themselves. And that's just a different way, I guess, of dealing with life.
Greenblatt says, don't be surprised if ex-Wall Street bankers start getting dollar sign tattoos. In New York, I'm Andrea Mustaine for Marketplace.
Hope you can check us out online at our website with the numbers and all kinds of information. Our online host and blogger, Scott Jagow, there as well, insidemarketplace.org. In Los Angeles, I'm Steve Chiotakis. Have a great day.
American Public Media.